around everybody, but there's the biggest factor in our life is our church. And I thank God for it. In the book of Matthew is where we'll be reading at tonight in the 13th chapter, if you want to follow along with us for just a few minutes of time. And a thought that we want to share with you this evening while you pray. We won't be before you long. I know that that it's midweek, and some of us are. I told Jim as we was coming in to the church tonight, we're about wore out. But after today, it's all downhill. Thursdays and Fridays and Saturdays seem to go fast compared to Mondays and Tuesdays. So we thank the Lord for each day, though. 13th chapter, book of Matthew. Go with me, if you would, reading verses 24, 25, and 26. Matthew 13 says in verse 13, "Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, The kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares amongst the wheat, and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also." And stop reading there with that 26th verse tonight. And if my thought tonight is, don't let the tares choke out the wheat, but let the wheat choke out the tares. Don't let the tares choke out the wheat, but let the wheat choke out the tares. And say that real fast a few times. The Bible teaches us that when we go back and study, we find that this good man, or a man that sowed good seed in his field, and while they slept, the enemy came and sowed tares amongst the wheat and went away. According to history, it was common in the East for enemies to come and sow tares and other poison seeds in the fields of those that they wish to hurt. The enemy would come. After they seen that the field had been sown, they would come and sow tares and other poisonous seeds in with them to try to eliminate or kill, destroy their enemy. And one of the things that was really stands out about that is that those tares would take years to get rid of. And it reminds me a lot of this time of the year that it seemed like those same weeds I killed in my yard last year are back this year. But this was a different. This wasn't just something that would grow, but it was done to mean harm. And in our lives, many of us try to, I believe all of us try to sow good seeds into our life. The good seeds is, and you look at these in Mark and Luke, and you'll find that the good seed is the Word of God. The Word of God that's in our life, that we want the good things that God has in store for us. But it seems like every time God blesses us to be able to sow a few more seeds, here comes our enemy, the devil, and sows some tares in our life. The other fascinating part about tares and wheat, when they're growing up until they reach maturity in the field, they both look alike. You can't tell a tare from a wheat until they reach maturity. And then a tare has a black seed or top on it, which is poisonous. And if that poison is taken, it could kill you. And it reminds me so much of how the devil comes. Every time God blesses us, it seems like the devil is there to sow some tares into our life. And they're not just tares that grow for a season and then they're gone, but some of those seeds fall back into the ground and they come back up. We pray and ask God to take it away, and God moves And here's some of those leftover seeds that the devil has still got in our lives that come to try to rob us of the joys that God wants us to have along the way. The interesting thing about this parable is that when the help came and told the goodman of the house that the tares were growing there amongst the wheat, they wanted to go out and start plucking them up. And he said, not so. Let them grow together. And at harvest, we'll separate them. And I thought about that. And anytime we try to pull the bad things out, if we're not careful, we'll trample right on top of the good things. Doubt comes in. God blessed us, promised us blessings, but when we're out there and we're pulling, any of you that's ever worked in a tobacco bed, and there's probably only two of us that's ever done it, maybe three or four, you know that when you're pulling the weeds out of the tobacco bed, you have to be very careful not to hurt the plant. In fact, you put boards up so that you don't even get in there and step on them. You're crawling across a board so you don't step on them and hurt the good plant. I'll share this story with you. Several years ago, I was raising tobacco, and the ridge where it was growing, my tobacco beds was at, you could see it from the road on the other ridge that came up in a U and went around, or like a I guess like a snake's curve went around. And I could see that Brother Lloyd from where I was at in the truck looking across there. And my heart leaped with joy because it looked like the beds were all grown up. They was pushing the canvas up. And I thought, my goodness, I've got a bumper crop of tobacco plants. And I got over there and I began to pull the cover back. And I found out most of what was pushing the canvas up was not tobacco plants. It was weeds. How many of us in our Christian life, sometimes we look at our life and say, look at all that God has given to me. But did you know the devil plants things in our lives also? People say, God has blessed me, and certainly God does bless us, but we need to look at what it is and make sure that it's a blessing from God and not a poisonous plant sent by the devil. And I got an example for that. Many years ago, if I would have moved to Charlotte, that would have been a poisonous plant for me. The job may have been okay, but I would have been in a place where spiritually I would have been bankrupt. We have to be careful. And Tara, to your testimony tonight, that you could be back there and Grayson, but you may be miserable there. God knows where we ought to be planted, and he knows where we're to be bloomed. And in our life, in our field, the devil comes to plant all kinds of tares around us. And if we're not careful, the tares will choke out the wheat. And you say, well, how can we control the wheat? Or control the tear so it doesn't choke out the wheat. And God laid upon my heart that there's a lot of things that we could do if we really want to take and get the tares, some of the tares out of our life. We will never get all the tares out of our life. How many of us were young and now we're old, and it seems like the devil is still sowing as many or more tares than he's ever sown in our life. We hear it in our testimonies and prayer requests. Trouble after trouble after trouble. There is no place in a child of God's life that the devil's ever going to back off. He's going to keep sowing tares. And some of you that say, well, I don't have too many tares in my life. Look at how these tares spring up. They look good. And then as they get mature, they're deadly. And our people today are taking a lot of these tares and presenting it as God's word, and it's going to kill them for eternity. How many false churches have we got out there? How many churches do we have that don't preach the word of God? that is deceiving our people. It looks good, but it's deceiving them, and it's going to kill them for eternity. And they're going to say, but I went to church. It was not good enough. Christ did not say you have to go to church. He said you must be born again. He didn't say that you could just go to any church. I believe God leads people to a church for a season, for a time. As the writer said, for a time such as this, God put us together that we might help each other. You say, and I'll just give another. I got many examples tonight. In my yard, when I see weeds coming up, I get some spray and I begin to spray them. I know I'll never kill them all. In fact, last year, Ruby, you'll like this. I never shared this with the church. Last year, I put too much down and I killed it all in a spot. And it reminded me of Ruby. Many years ago, she said, Glenn grabbed the wrong bag of stuff and put it on our yard and it killed the whole yard. She said, your neighbors would have a fit if that happened to you. Well, I did it. Not the whole yard, but the side yard there. See, I use that example because we can put things on these tares to drive them out of our life. You say, what can I put on it? If we put God's word, more of God's word. Lloyd is emphatical in his teaching that we need more of God's word in our life. This right here is what will destroy the tares that spring up. More of time that we have put our supplication with God and time with God. You say, what I pray. Praying is just part of the time we ought to spend with God. We ought to have conversations with God. Does anybody else talk to God during the day or during the week? Besides saying, Lord, help me, or Lord, I need something. Sometimes I just want to say, Lord, I thank you. We need to get to know God like we've never known him before. And that will take and control the tares. It'll never get the tares out. In fact, every year we're going to have tares in our life. Because the devil is trying his best to kill us. He's trying his best to take us out. And I've often questioned God. And some Baptists from years gone by say, Roger, you should never question God. Does God not know our thoughts? If we think that God already knows about it, and even the prophets question God, and when we question God, and I said, Lord, why are you taking so many of our good elders out of the church? I know that they're better off with you, but we need them here. Because there's not many good wheat crops coming along. Amen? There's a lot of tare crops coming along. And the problem is, you don't know the wheat from the tares until the very end. When it's time for harvest, that's when you know the difference. And it's a lot like our people today. We can't tell who's saved and who's not saved. And we won't know until the very end. See, a lot of a person's testimony at the end of their life is more valuable than any other time in their life. You say, why is that? Because people that know that they're getting ready to leave this world, they're not going to make up a story. If they say, I'll see you again on the other side of the river, you can count, we're going to see them again on the other side of the river. The devil brings all these tares into our life. And this is a thought that I believe is so true today. The devil sows more seeds than God's people do. You think about it. He sows more than we do. I have, and I've been sowing a lot of seed this spring. And you get that thing out and you begin to crank it. And Dad knows I like old tools, and he was at a yard sale a couple years ago, and he got me one of the old bag seed sowers. Y'all, anybody ever use one of them? You put it over your shoulder and it's a bag and it's got a wheel that you turn also. It's not as nice. It's the new stuff. But it reminds me that if we want to have wheat, we've got to sow some seeds. If you want to have a good Christian life, we've got to sow some seeds to overtake. And some of you even overseed your lawns in the fall or in the winter so that when spring comes, you can expect more of the grass that we can mow. Right? And Cecil and I have talked about this many times. You know, we talk about the grass and what a duty it is to have to cut it. Sharon's been cutting grass for 3 days. But yet we put fertilizer and stuff on it to make it grow and make it green. And then we fuss about having to cut it. Do we not? But let me move on. The devil sows these seeds of tares, causing doubt and confusion to come in our life, causing anxiety and fear that comes into our life. These are not of God. These are of the devil. They're tares that you and I deal with every day. Stress that we deal with, and sickness and disease and unbelief that comes in, and the false doctrines that's there. When I read over this, the Lord laid upon my heart that, you know, when we look at people, we can't tell who's going to heaven and who's going to hell. In fact, I said it like this. There's really only, I said in the past, two people that know whether you're saved or not, and that's you and God. That's the only two. We could give a good testimony. I've got cousins, and I'll just confess tonight, that give a good testimony, but their actions speak differently. You say, Roger, now you're being a judge. Look out over the field. What did Christ say when he said, pray that the master would send more workmen into the harvest because it is now ready? He said, look out over it. It is white. Is that not what the scripture says? It's white, ready for harvest. It would be easy to tell a tare from a wheat at harvest time because the wheat is white and the tares are black. Now, this is God's word. It teaches us that we could tell a difference at harvest, but at harvest time, it's too late. So we need to get the tares out of our life as much as we possibly can. How many of you deal with doubt during the week? Or even confusion or stress or anxiety that comes along. Fear that comes along. Sickness that we have to deal with or disease. And even at times, the best of us has unbelief. Because you've heard me say this many times. I know God can do anything. He can do everything. But sometimes we don't know when we pray if He'll do it for us. I know He'll do it for you. I believe that. But I don't know if He'll do it for me. You say, Roger, that's a strange way of putting it. That's the tear. That's one of the tears that I have in my life that I have to work with and deal with and ask God to help me to drive that out. But then I say that, but then I say, look at all these men and women in our church that's had cancer that God's healed, and I'm confident. If God can do it for them, He can do it for me. I don't know if He will. See, I'm a lot like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I don't know if He will, but I know He's able. Amen. Amen. But these tares, it's constant work. There's nowhere in this Bible that God says you get saved and you'll never have another problem. In fact, you probably didn't have any problems until you did get saved. Or as many. When God gives us good things, it's the devil's job to try to rob us of the joy that God wants us to have. That's when we have to look at him and say, Satan, get thee behind me. Because you are not the master of my life. I belong to God. You say, Roger, you've told us about these tares and how bad they are. What's the remedy? Get close to God. God will be that. I'll use this as an illustration. I told you I got a lot of illustrations. My favorite weed killer is Weed Be Gone. You know what getting close to God will do? Tares be gone. Tares be gone. Because God will give you that no matter what I go through, God is going to see me through it. I will have the victory and I will rejoice. Not when it comes, but I'm going to rejoice through it. And say, God, I know we're going to win this together. You and I, not I and you, but you and I, we will win this. And the tares will show themselves. And even though we don't know which ones to pluck up, God does. He knows. The same hand that made you and I, that the same hand that the hands that were spread out on Calvary's cross, the same hand that reached down in our soul and cast out that strong man, is the same man that is strong enough but yet gentle enough through prayer, supplication, and seeking God to just pull that weed out. And I'll give you my last illustration. There's a lot of weeds that we just pull off at the top, and the root is still there. And you know what's going to happen? It's going to rear its ugly face in just a few more days. See, some of us, we just want the devil to leave us alone for a day or two. I'd like for the devil just to leave me alone. But he won't. Because he's like that enemy. When I read that, I thought, my goodness, somebody must hate somebody an awful lot to sow poisonous seed in their fields. But you know, the devil hates you and I. He hates you and I. And the goodman of the house, he said it like this. He said, don't go and pull them up, lest while you gather up the tares, you root up also the wheat with them. But let them both grow until harvest. And in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather you together first the tares. You say, why the tares first? They're the easiest ones to identify with. They're black at the top. So now you can go out and you can grab them and pull them up. And then bind them and burn them. But gather the wheat into my barn. See, God's got a storehouse of blessings for us. He wants us to gather them and put them in our barn. But I'm afraid if we're not careful, some of us are putting tares into our barn. And we are poisoning not just ourselves, but families. Do you know of families that seem like the whole family's been poisoned by alcoholism, by drugs, by cares of this world, by saying, I don't believe in God? The whole family's been poisoned. And the devil's enjoying that. The only thing that can save them is the grace of God. By them praying and asking God, remove this curse from my family. And today, as I close, how many of you like me? I see this curse is growing by leaps and bounds. The curse of not just alcohol and drugs, but the curse of just anything will do to get you into heaven. That is the most damnable doctrine that there is today. And it's spreading like wildfire. I'll confess, there's a church, new church, down in the area where my dad lives at. And they got this podcast, and I tried to watch it. And I could only watch about 30 seconds of it. Because today it's a mockery. What Satan has brought in and put the church sign on. It's sad, Lloyd. They don't believe in preaching. They don't believe in the Holy Spirit. They work up a spirit. And people say, Roger, you ought not to be so judgmental. The devil has a spirit just like God has a spirit. And like tares, he's out there just throwing it everywhere. And I enjoy good singing, but I don't need to go to church to have a rock concert. I enjoy every song that is sung. And I believe that y'all have heard me say this for many years now. It wouldn't matter if somebody came in our church and says, I play drums. If they had a drum set and they played it right, it wouldn't bother me. Rachel, how many years have I tried to get you to bring your violin and play for us? People say, Roger, be careful. I'm not saying that we turn it into a studio. I'm saying if it's done in decency and order, I believe it pleases God. And some of you today, look, get your eyes now. I feel the fire coming this way. I look at it like this. What are you going to do when we get to heaven? Go read Psalms, the 149th and 150th chapter. There's going to be all kinds. He says, let everything that has breath praise ye the Lord. And they did it with timbrels and cymbals. They did it with the harps and then all kinds of things. And some of you say, Roger, your message was okay until you got to that part. I think if it's done right, we ought not condemn it if it's done right. Now, some of you say, now it's time to hush. The devil will sow tares. And some of these, and I'll close with this final thought. Some of these generational tares is even in our lives about what is and what isn't acceptable. You know, we say you can do this, but you can't do that. God's Spirit will tell whether it's of God or not. And let's let God be the judge. I've been in services where I began to question myself, am I right with God? Because I don't feel what is happening around me. I've been in services where somebody was shouting, it about scared me to death. Because up to that point, it was cold as ice cubes. And some of you don't want to say amen. You know you've been there. And then there's other times when the Spirit is moving so greatly, and I say, why isn't everybody feeling this? And the reason is that we're all dealing with different tares in our life. But if we give it to God and say, Lord, help me, He'll give us some of that tares be gone. That's a good one, ain't it? And we'll see our wheat grow by leaps and bounds. Would you join us as we pray tonight? Ask God to help us to get. We'll never get all the tares out, Sarah. But you know, if we can keep it to where it's controllable, get it down to where we don't have all of these things. You know, insecurity. I only mentioned a few of things that the devil sows in our lives. He'll tell you nobody wants to hear you sing. You can't sing like somebody else. Well, we're not here in a competition. We're here to worship God. He'll tell you you can't preach like somebody else. We're not in a competition. I can't preach like Lloyd. Lloyd can't preach like me. And Lloyd says, amen. You know, in the Bible, there was that rose up about Paul and Apollos and Timothy. You know, they were three different types of preachers. I can't be somebody else and somebody else can't be me. We ought to be what God has made us for His glory. We are unique in the eyes of God. And He's given us all a job to do. And if you get all the tares out of your field, will you come over and help me get some out of mine? You say, how can I do that? By praying one for another. We can help each other. And I said I was going to close, but I see some people's lives, man, and it's like the whole field is nothing but tears. I've had it before. I'll share this, and I will close. Many years ago when we built our house, I came home on weekends because I was gone all week in the job. And I came home on weekends, and I sowed the whole backyard in grass seed. And then I went to get some straw, and I was in a hurry. And I went up to the Farm Bureau place, and I went out. I paid for it. I went out to their barn, and I threw it in the truck and went home, threw it all over the place. And when it came up, I had more crabgrass than I had anything else because I grabbed hay instead of straw. You say, well, they look different. Hay is green and straw is brown. No, they were both brown. The hay was just well-seasoned hay. And this is exactly what Becky and I did. We went out there one weekend when I came home, and we pulled up as much of the crabgrass as we could. And I had a little Ford Ranger, and it filled up the whole bed of that Ranger. See, be careful what you sow and what you cover it with. And don't call Roger to help pull crabgrass. I've had my fill of it. But that just shows us today, we need to take time and examine what the devil is offering and say, do I want it in my field or not? And let me advise you tonight, anything the devil's offering, you better say no to it because it's not good. Would you join us as we pray and ask the Lord to help us to control the tares that's in our life?
Dear Lord, I praise you tonight for your word and for your spirit. I thank you, God, that you give us your word to help us. Lord, that illustrates exactly how the devil works. Lord, what we're to look for and how we can control the influence that he has on our life. Lord, I praise you tonight that, God, that you give us the way to identify with what the devil is doing. Lord,